late Lester Bowie leading off his band with a good oldie, In the Still of the Night. And this is his band. The band is called Lester Bowie and His Brass Fantasy. What he was doing when he died, he was in the process of completing all these compilations with new interpretations. This one, for example, is taken from a compilation called The Odyssey of Funk and Popular Music, which was released in 1998. I knew him, and I knew his wife, Deborah, as well. Great people. And a Brooklynite. Let's just put that on the record there. Well, what dare we say? That debate, The Debate Is Over, featuring 12 people who are running, 12 Democrats running for president, and they gathered for what the hosts called a debate. And once again, it was not a debate. Somebody needs to put them in a classroom and teach them what a debate is. It is more correctly classified, in my opinion, as a Q&A, question and answer. So you have 12 people who are running, assembled on a stage. This is being covered live, of course. And you have a panel consisting of editorial types from CNN and the New York Times. And they take turns in asking questions very politely, soft questions, nothing too tough. Very soft questions. And it all has a very canned and orderly look. And in turn, the candidates being questioned keep it equally soft and non-controversial. And when we've had enough of this, the session ends. Very unspectacularly, and with not much meat. You know, they ask the kinds of questions the average sixth or seventh grader could ask, and they get answers accordingly. Which is sad, because, you know, growing up in Trinidad as I did, we were required, this was required listening on the radio, to listen to parliamentary debates. And it wasn't, you know, a knock-down, drag-out kind of uncontrolled situation, but it certainly was very, very challenging to be on the other side of a question and can't answer it. You know how debates are supposed to work. These are the wimpiest debates I have ever seen. And I said, the last one, well, you know, maybe they're trying a new thing. No, they're just, what they're trying to do is to hold a debate, or what we would call a debate, what they should call a question and answer session, so that advertisers wouldn't be offended, the network wouldn't be offended, people with good manners would not be offended, and all in all, we don't learn much. All that time paid for to be on air, and all the lavish preparation, and the content is vapid. There's nothing really there to keep you interested, to to have you sit through all that time waiting for something substantive to appear. And it doesn't. It doesn't appear. And then they congratulate themselves about having conducted a debate that didn't, you know, you didn't see chairs flying and you didn't see, you know, all kinds of raucous behavior. They're very civilized now in conducting these Q&A sessions. So I will continue calling them Q&A sessions until they show that they actually are having a debate. There you go. So, no real new information. Although they're making a lot out of that. And they wrapped it up with even more of the same. And I had had it by the time this thing was over. I was praying, please don't let there be any more. You know, leave us alone. Let us go to sleep now. We're tired, we're fed up, and we'd like to go to sleep. So, with the benefit of hindsight, we are going to talk today about what was, what wasn't, and what should have been significant about the Democrats' Q&A session at Otterbein University in Ohio last night. And we first must pay attention to the environment of this thing. It couldn't be more controversial. We have the country in a state of turmoil. We have the world in a state of turmoil, with the United States playing a prominent role in creating and maintaining that turmoil. But here within the borders, we have a pending election or an impending election. We have a most unhinged president who has already declared that he'll be running again. We have any number of individuals with their pinky toe already crossing the line into a jail cell. We have investigations galore happening, including and most prominently against the President of the United States. Congress is in an uproar. And we are all pretending, well, you know, it happens, so we just deal with it and see what happens at the end. We have become so blasé about these kinds of things, which actually put together, it's evidence that we are going or have already gone to hell. Country is running out of sheer force of habit because the people who are supposed to be at the helm can't find the helm. They don't know what the helm is. So that's where we are. We're going to talk about today, and I know we should get into all the fine details. You go where you want to go with it. You take the subject where you want to go. But within those parameters, we're looking for feedback from you as to those criteria that we just pointed out. What was, what wasn't, and what should have been significant about the Q&A session last night. Let's see if you're up to it. 888 874-4888. Let's see if you're up to the task, or if they totally broke you last night and you're so fed up, you have nothing more to say. I know so many of us are at this point. It is remarkable to me that in my little country where I was born and raised, and we had to listen to these parliamentary debates, you're getting some incredible education, not only about the subjects discussed, but the whole business of tactic, technique, of debating, of arguing without anybody's nose being beaten out of joint or anything like that. But you get to appreciate how, in terms of political tactics, how you situate your topic, you situate your position, and how you defend your position. It is quite a thing that people are missing out on when they sit in on a debate and you're asking yourself, wait a minute, these people are actually in government? They actually have a role in steering the ship of state? And we look to them for direction, but they haven't any. For imagination, but they haven't any. How to make a point, but they can't. It is mind-boggling. And just for shame's sake, they need to have these debates behind closed doors. We don't need to let the world see the caliber, or lack thereof, of intellect that on a daily basis is running this country. It is frightening. Well, let's move along with our agenda, because we can't change that. Everybody has all kinds of concerns having to do with electability, having to do with protecting their reputations, having very little to do with actually sharing information and telling people where it is we are going, frankly and openly telling us where we're going, and whether in the minds of the people talking to us, we're on the right track. And if we're on the wrong track, what we need to do to get on the right track. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, you, Teresa, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Now, thank you. Afternoon to you, too, Patricia.
Now, I don't know about you, but I liken this to a gentleman suitor trying to get my attention. So if he's trying to get my attention, I would expect him to pay attention to me, to get to know what I like, what I don't like, what he needs to do to get my attention so we can proceed further. The one thing missing last night, although everybody agrees that nobody can get to the finish line for the Democrats without the African-American community, I didn't hear not one thing last night that spoke to me. They didn't speak about police violence against African-Americans. You have a case that was settled just recently in Dallas with Botham Jean. Now you have an African-American woman shot in her house who has a right to have a gun. The gun is licensed. She's protecting her home. I don't hear anything about voting rights. I don't hear anything about education. I don't hear anything that spoke to me. The only person who mentioned something about people of color last night was Julian Castro. And actually, he is consistently the only one who brings up an issue, but the question or the issue that he brings up is never expanded. It is just glossed over. So here again, everybody keeps saying, I can't get to the finish line without African-American votes. And in this debate, in this Q&A, there's nothing that says, you are important to me, so I'm going to talk to you. And I don't know who these people's consultants are that they have. I see a whole lot of brown faces behind Sanders and behind Biden. They clearly don't understand that they need to come to us with more than platitudes, because that's not going to get me anywhere near them.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad you raised the question, because the intention was to have us focus on what we see and hear and not pay attention to what we don't see and what we don't hear. And that is the essence of really good listening. You listening, because, you know, they will do the predictable, and that's what they did. They did the predictable. But the serious issues that really need to come to the fore before the total nation, the total sum total of who this nation is, they are not going close to it at all.
You
so kudos to you.
I am so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
If you have verbalized that you need me, then bring me something. You bring me nothing.
Oh, my gosh. How does that make you feel, by the way, as a voter?
It makes me feel as though you're trying to play one over on me. You can't pimp my vote. You pimping my vote. You're a big pimp, and you're hoping that I'll go along with the program. No, I'm not the one. I'm not the one.
Who lost the most, as far as you're concerned?
Well, in my eyesight, Joe Biden needs to just disappear. Just disappear. He has a record that does not stand the test of time when it comes to people of color. That's the problem with being in the game for so long. You got a record, and it doesn't speak well. It doesn't bode well for people of color. So I would start there.
Didn't you find that he was kind of dejected in his demeanor?
He doesn't know what to do. He's trying to figure out how to win the game, and he doesn't have it. It's as if he doesn't have this. He doesn't have the information. It's as if he doesn't have the information. You know, you can have information, but decide that your plan is to just do enough and say enough to get through. But he doesn't even have that. He doesn't even have the information to decide, well, I'll say this because this will work, and I won't say that because that won't work. He doesn't even seem to have that, the basics.
He seemed to have lost quite a bit of energy. I didn't spot a spark in Joe Biden. I mean, we had Sanders, who was just coming off of a heart attack, with a lot more spark than Joe Biden, who wasn't in the hospital recently. But you wonder, what happened? What happened to the spark?
You're absolutely correct. I laughed at Sanders last night. I said, oh my God, this guy's recovering from a heart attack. Doesn't look like it, doesn't sound like it.
It's an amazing thing.
It's an amazing
thing. So all in all, we've had four of these. Was it worth it?
Look, the goal should be to make Trump a one-term president. And nothing that I have seen so far says that they are addressing the sole issue. They are spending more time fighting each other and tearing each other down because everybody wants to be the nominee. The sole focus should be making Trump a one-term president. That should be their sole focus, and it doesn't seem to be.
It doesn't. I agree with that. I certainly agree with that. Thanks, Patricia, for getting us started today. 888-874-4888. What did you think about that event last night? Did it inspire confidence? Did it bring to your attention new things that you believed were important to know? Is it influencing how you might think about voting, if you still are thinking of voting? Does it really fill out? I mean, just as a plain citizen hearing the issues, did it do that job? Or are you still stuck trying to figure out what is more important at this time? Is it getting the president out of office? Or is it about issues that they still can handle and handle without him? That they are powerful enough to take care of business and handle it. That the priority is of course, getting Trump impeached, but beyond that, bringing the country back to a point where the people are listened to and their priorities count, as the party will be using that as their direction. Is the party thinking the same way as the people? Or is the party all about, we've got to get rid of Trump? We have to impeach him. But even now, as they gather momentum, supposedly, and evidence and all the other things, we're not sure where they are in the scheme of things. And we're not sure that they understand where we are, the people, in the scheme of things. Ephraim Edgewater, how do you rate this debate last night?
Hi, Trace. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I think it's just the show they're putting on to entertain us and placate us, so we don't really know what's going on. And I understand you have a show to conduct and you got to go on what the information we have up. But when we see that it's so ridiculous, like what's going on in the world today, sometimes we got to come up with our own ideas and put this comedy act aside or something. Didn't anybody else listen to the interview that you played with Martin Luther King back in 1967 and the things that he said, that the dream had become a nightmare? That's 53 years ago. He knew what was in store for him, and he knew what was in store for us, and it hurt his heart like it's hurting my heart. Maybe we should go back and listen to the speech once again and try to dissect it and see what's really going on here. Because a caller asked you to name a politician that helped black people, and you named Lyndon Johnson because of his programs that he set forth. It looked like he was sincere about trying to help black people. But Martin Luther King said we didn't want welfare checks and low-income housing projects filled with rats and then flood the neighborhood with drugs. We didn't want that. We wanted jobs, and we wanted equality. And that's not what was given. And very shrewd Johnson, I'll give you an example. I lived in Bay Ridge, a predominantly
white neighborhood. You're kind of off the topic. I need
I'm straying because I'm trying to make sense of this insanity world that we're living in, and I just can't seem to do it. People are asleep. They sit in front of their TVs and absorb this nonsense. They're stuck on their smartphones and computers, and everybody's asleep. You said after you watch the debate, then you're going to go to, no, we're asleep already. We're awake and asleep at the same time. And it's very discouraging, And every day of my life now, for, since 9/11, I feel a feeling of apprehension, of total dread in my life. And I have nothing to really be upset about because everything is pretty decent for me here. But I walk up about the rest of things going on. It's just total insanity. Like
I understand. I understand how so many people feel the same way. So many people feel lost or dejected or rejected, and they no longer can connect with the new definition of what America is because that is not making sense to them. The parties don't seem to be hearing this. They don't seem to be connecting to the people's message at all. They seem to have goals and aspirations that are very, very different from what people want. To my mind, you're looking to talk to people about what concerns them most. Jobs, affordable housing, schools that actually do educate. You're looking for a nation that is at least healthy. Our nation isn't healthy. We have corporations pioneering the sickness and illness in our society for profit. We have a lot of things that are wrong, but because we are in the throes of an election, a national election, it does make sense to take some time to evaluate how we are resonating with our leaders and how our leaders are resonating with us. You said you didn't really watch the whole thing, the whole so-called debate, but you have an idea of what the perceived relationship is between the people who allegedly represent us and us. What do you make of that relationship?
What I make of it is they talk a good game. They have everybody convinced that this is real, this is what's going on is real, that they seem really concerned about ending this and doing something to help people here and doing it. But it's all just a show. They're not even a government anymore, these people. They're in front of, they're on the stage performing like actors. You know, when you go to a movie and you see Jerry Lewis act like a maniac, that's not really Jerry Lewis. He's playing a character. They're all playing this character from Warren and Biden. They're all playing this character that they've been told to be playing because they're all in on it. You see, we're at war right now. It's not called the race war or war against the Vietnamese. It's the rich against the poor war. And I talked about this to my father-in-law 40 years ago, that someday down the line, there's going to be this thing coming down. And it's now upon us. And maybe we got 10 more years before things really get bad. If you think things are bad now, you trees, you don't have any idea. They'll be shutting off the power. The stores will have no food or water. The prisons will be opened up, and all the prisoners will be allowed to leave, and they'll be preying on us. And this is the kinds of things that I have to have going through my head because everybody else is asleep.
Cleaned up. So, Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Thank you, Trace.
Yes.
Good. As far as the debates go, I watch for the entertainment value, nothing more than that. There's not going to be anything informative or anything to learn. It's a show like any other show, to look at it any differently is to delude yourself. As far as what Patricia had to say, which I believe Patricia is one of your very best callers, saying that they're not saying anything to black people, and I'm black, to preface that, the Democrats know that they don't have to say anything to black people to get their votes. This has been going on for a long time. Bill Clinton playing the saxophone on Arsenio, black people vote for him. Hillary Clinton saying that she keeps hot sauce in her purse, figuring that's good enough for black people to vote. Plus, black people are going to vote Democrat anyway. And so they take us for granted, and I'm sure Joe Biden is saying, well, I'll get the black vote because I was Barack Obama's vice president, as if that means anything. But I'm sure he's counting on that. And with a lot of black people, it will be good enough. Well, this is the closest thing to having Obama back. And Obama got a lot of votes just by having brown skin, not by anything he did. He didn't do anything for us. He never even claimed he would do anything for us. But I've got brown skin, and so you vote for me. So there's that as far as the voting goes. And to my dear brother David from Brooklyn, also one of your very best callers, I fear, brother, that you have been hollering into the wind trying to teach this audience that do not think that this government has anything to do with your interests. They just don't. They are there to serve the power structure, not you. To think that Congress is there for you, they're not. To think the president is there for you, he's not. And this has been going on for a long time. You have to let go of thinking that Pelosi or any of the Democrats are going to impeach Trump in your interest. No, that's in their interest. Or that Trump is doing anything for anyone else's interest other than his own. So,
let's have David join the conversation. He's online. David, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Trace.
And you're talking with
Bill. I'm going to say this. This so-called debate, which is not a debate, is really, in the one last night, I would think is like a 12-ring circus. To me, the essence of this understanding of what's going on is that those who rule want to distract the people. If they can get people to look at this so-called quote-unquote debate and waste their time looking at people who are competing to be the head of an empire that is trying to rule the whole world. So if you're running for president and you have the uniparty or duopoly that is running the whole thing, this is not a place where you have any in terms of parties of your own, and you think that those people up there that are telling you all about some things that they would like to do for you, and when they tell you these things, they know full well that they can say these things now, and if they do get elected by chance, they don't have to go through them at all. There are so many hurdles to go through or tunnels to go under or go around things that they don't have to do these things. The empire, the ruling empire, the ruling class that runs the country is not about to do things that are in the interests of the masses of people that live there. So we have to get that through our head. And it's very difficult because the masses of people have been trained so well by the system, by the media, by the schools and whatnot to go along with the program. People are trained to a very high degree, so they walk around talking about, well, you can't fight City Hall, you say. They walk around talking about, the best of two evils. Some of them know that things are evil, so you take the best of, so that's supposed to be all right. So, you know, the people are rarely trained to the point where the ruling class evidently has been getting even more successful because the people are getting poorer. So we have to get that through our head. This is all part of the show, and it means nothing. We have a class of people, the fraction of 1% that run everything in both parts of the duopoly, Republican and Democrat, and the rest of us are under them. And they want to have things like this quote-unquote debate because it's part of the way you play people. You make them think. You make them think that you have a democracy here.
Right.
You make them think that, and as long as you got them thinking that, they think they're doing something by going to vote, let's say, for the best of two evils. So you know, we're in a bad position. We're behind some other Western countries where people would not stand for this. People would be in the streets raising hell. But people here are very well trained, and they're neutered. They're domesticated.
So what do you see then as the David, based on what we saw yesterday, last night, as the fourth of these convocations and the guided tour of where the political leadership is on different subjects and so forth, what's in store?
I can't hear you. Would you say that again?
I'm saying, what's in store? We've had four of these.
What's in store? Oh, yes. What's in store is what's happening. People are going to get poorer and poorer. State of imperialism, where the United States interferes with, I guess, every country in the world in their elections and does whatever it can to benefit those who rule. So it's going to get worse and worse. As long as the people let themselves be played as they are being played now, it's going to get worse and worse. So the ruling class is in no way going to improve things unless they see a possibility of a revolt, like a la Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the Great Depression. So it hasn't gotten to that point yet. People are very well trained. They got the American people, I'll put it this way, on a short leash. They've got the American people on a short leash. It's like a dachshund holding the leash of a Great Dane. And the people are the Great Dane, and the dachshund is holding the leash and controlling the Great Dane. That's what you got here. That's the condition of the people that live in the country. It's a very sad condition. And, you know...
Still, here's the thing. An election is about to be held.
Yes.
And people are running, and there is a... From some points of view, there's an obligation. Part of the civic duty is to vote. What are people to do, in your view?
All right. That's a very interesting question. Here's what people do. There's a substantial number of people, maybe close to less than 50%, who don't vote at all. They just don't vote. They have no part in it. Then they have another group of people who go by what the ruling class is able to throw them up, the best of two evils. So even though you have candidates for this head of the world's strongest empire that don't represent you, you pick one of them, the worst of the two evils. It's no different than you deciding, look, do I want to be bitten by the king cobra, or do I want to be squeezed by one of those constrictor snakes? Both ways, you're going to die. So, you know, that's what you have. You make that choice. So that's the second choice. And the third choice that people have is one where they pretend that they're going to vote for some party where there's no possible chance. The whole system is rigged by the ruling class and the Democrats and the Republicans. So, you know, people are just dumbfounded. They don't understand the system, and they've been neutered and controlled so much by the main levers of control of people in this country, the white supremacy technique and the other divide and conquer means the ruling class has of dividing people. So, you know, again, the people, it's just amazing to see people functioning against their own self-interest. And that happens every day in this country. So I'm not entertained by the 12 rings circus, and I don't have time to waste with concerning myself with what these politicians say, because it doesn't mean anything. And even if they get in, they don't have to do it.
Wow. A sobering point of view. Thank you very much for offering and sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thank you.
Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Hello, Willie. And
good afternoon, my PRN family. I have to say I agree with E 100%. I can identify with that because that's the same exact way I feel. And Sister Patricia and Leona, they're two beautiful orators. They could relate their points. But Sister Utrecht, I don't know what to say about this because I pay no attention to it. For me, it's an insult to my intelligence and my decency because I have a brain, and that's the only thing we should not allow anyone to own. That's yours. That's why it's mine. And it's an insult to me because it should be clear to everyone that this is just a distraction to deceive you. They're beating the wars of drums, the drums, war, and that is not something to play with. It will not be like Iraq or Libya. And I agree with we haven't seen the worst yet. But what they're planning on doing, I think there is a power bigger than all of them. We all know that the politicians, the so-called politicians and the so-called president, they are controlled. The Washington has been hijacked. The monetary system has been hijacked. And the political system, and the news media, the so-called news medium, has been hijacked. So I'm not going to play into it. That's all I have to say. Thank you, beloved. By the way, I missed you yesterday.
I'm sorry?
I missed you yesterday. It was...
I wasn't on the air yesterday. I was feeling kind of under the weather.
Well, that's my concern.
I had to rest up. I gave it a good try, but I just couldn't go on air.
That should be our concern, your well-being and PRN, making it bigger and better by donating and letting everybody else know about it. This way, it would be the medium in America, because the reason they're telling the people there, they're teaching us and telling us the truth. The problem is the majority of the people have no clue.
So, in this upcoming election, what is your disposition? We've just finished the fourth and final, I hate using the words, debate from the Democrats. Well, which way are you leaning?
Yusuf, I already know that it's one party. I already know it's a game they're playing. I already know that those people are controlled and told what to do, what to say. So I have no interest in it.
Uh-huh.
I don't even have a TV because I know that it is controlled by the same people who control the monetary system, the political system, and the economic system. Simple.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in and sharing your thoughts today, Willie. Lydia from Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Therese. I'm a long-time listener and first-time caller. But
good for you.
I want to start by saying I think, first of all, CNN is a product of the propaganda machine and, you know, totally controlled by the deep state neocons. And their latest puppet, which is Biden, who is just following what Obama and the Clintons and the Bushes, they all are in the same class. And now that he's in trouble, I noticed they did not talk about his investigation or lack thereof with as far as his son. They politely kept that out of any questioning. And now their new person that they're grooming is Elizabeth Warren. And if you noticed, I mean, I watched it. It was painful. But if you noticed, everything was geared around her. And, you know, I guess they're saying she's the forerunner. But they're actually grooming her to be who they are going to probably declare their candidate. So I think that, unfortunately, Tulsi Gabbard was given less than 10 minutes to talk, and she was shut down by the moderators. And I think it was just so obvious that, you know, it is rigged. They're going to do, again, what they did to Bernie in 2016. To anybody, Castro, whoever's up there, you know, forget about it. It's a done deal. And the next person is going to be Elizabeth Warren, who I was liking. However, from other stations I listened to, she is probably, she's in contact with Hillary, making calls. And like Bernie says, she's a capitalist at heart, to the bone, is what he quoted
her. To the
her
bone,
saying.
He said.
Yes, to the bone. And I think it's just sad. And unfortunately, Bernie, Biden is a joke. He doesn't even really want to be there. They were putting him there because they have prepped, unfortunately, blacks and whites, Democrats, to think he's got the best chance. And, you know, they can totally control him. And, again, it's business as usual. It's one party, like your previous speaker said. And it's sad. It's really sad. So what do we do in November? I have no idea. I have to see what's going to what's going to unfold in the coming weeks. Well, that's next November, right? I'm not sure when the next primary is for that, or May. It's in May. But I think what was not talked about are these endless wars. And if we don't stop them, nothing's going to change for black, brown, white, whatever. This country is going to hell in a handbasket. And that's my thoughts.
Wow. What are you inclined to do?
Well, I am inclined to vote. I am part of that generation that, just, I guess, brainwashed to vote on. Like you said, my civic duty. And I don't miss many elections, local or otherwise. But this upcoming presidential election, I'm really not sure. I have to see what is going to happen. I pray we could get a third party going, which is what I wanted Bernie to do the last time. But, he got punked out of doing that once he met with Obama. They had that secret meeting, and then it was like, yeah, get in line with everybody else. It's serious. We're in serious trouble. We are creating trouble all over the world, and karma, whatever you want to call it, the chickens are going to come home to roost soon on this country, and I don't want to pay for what they did. I really don't. So maybe I'll move out the country. I don't know. That is always an option. So that's my answer to that.
Well, I thank you for sharing your thoughts and your feelings today. And there's a great deal to what you say. We will come to it probably sooner than you know, because so many people are feeling it the same way you feel. I'm one of them. So we'll talk about what brought us to this point and where do we go now? What do we do for our politics? Because it's as important as many other things in life, and it is a part of our lives. So what do we do with this huge chunk of our lives that has been a huge chunk for so many years? And we find now, or we feel now, that there's very little value to it. There's very little reason to be as devoted to it as before. So it's about finding a new way. That is the conversation that we have to have next. Thank you so much for calling in. Bill from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello, Bill.
And all your listeners. Hi. Yes, first of all, I think that I really don't follow the debates at this point. First of all, there's way too many candidates that are on the podium, 12 people, and it's down from before. And so it needs to be sort of culled somewhat significantly. But I really believe that we all must keep focused in terms of what the objective is, if that is for the removal of Donald J. Trump and his minions from the White House. In my opinion, to hold my nose, the only person that can do that is Joe Biden, because whoever wins must get a portion of those red states and the purple. And folks in Scranton, folks in West Virginia, folks out in, Utah or in Oklahoma, steel mill can relate to Biden. And all he needs is just a portion of them. He can't get all of them, but that would be enough to tip the scales for a victory. The others can't, certainly not a person like Cory Booker. I really, as much I think Warren is brilliant, I think Sanders is a godsend. But the objective is to win at all costs. And really, Biden would probably be a one-term president. And then the hope would be he would choose someone very, viable to be a terrific and very active and assertive and progressive vice president. So that's my opinions on that.
Do you share the same concerns as many that Biden truly might have missed his time? He seems to be slipping up in memory-wise. At the so-called debate last night, he seemed to have lacked the energy that one would expect him to have.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I mean, on any given day, any of us, sometimes.
I conked out yesterday myself.
I know, I was in a meeting in the city yesterday and was sort of, you know, was called on me to speak for a moment, and I had to kind of collect myself because I was half with it. And I'm well less than half the age of Mr. Biden. So there is that fog, and he has been out of circulation from the mainstream in politics in terms of an office for almost 4 years now. And so there is a ramping up, but as I have mentioned, the goal is removal of Trump from office. He can win. That's the thing. This man can get back in office, and I'm starting to have sleepless nights, and it'll be a very, very sad day, and I may have to be removed from my 19th office on November 2020, away from all windows. I'm joking, but we cannot allow this man to get reelected. So I think Biden is the one that can carry the torch for success.
Well, thank you. Thanks for contributing to that. It's
okay,
great to be in your company. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. We have much in this vein to talk about. But I'm very encouraged that at least from the very beginning, you haven't fallen for this business that this is a debate. We're not having any debates. So we've disabused ourselves of that notion, and that was a good piece of work. So I'll still continue to call it a Q&A session. And even so, it didn't do well as a Q&A session, but absolutely it wasn't a debate. We'll continue as we move along. Thank you so much, and we'll see each other tomorrow. And thank you for joining us today. Pass the word along. Let people know that PRN is your station and that we're getting better at your station.